Hello and welcome to another weekly podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. If you're in the Mankato area, join us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and again at 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at mankatohilltop.org. Best of all,
God is with us.
We're going to be looking at each of the seven last words of Christ. So on this Ash Wednesday, I thought we would start with the very last thing Jesus says. So we just got done doing a sermon series on the book of Revelation, talking about the end of the Bible, and I thought, well, that's a great way to start Lent. Let's start at the end with the last thing Jesus says. Why? Because knowing that now helps us as we begin this journey together, kind of knowing the end. There were seven things that Jesus said from the cross, and each week we'll look at one. So tonight, we're going to look at this one that says, the very last thing he said in Luke, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, there are lots of different ways to say that. I'm going to show you. There's different versions. When you read a translation in English, there's lots of different ways of saying that. And so these different English translations get at the heart of that. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Maybe that's the one you're most familiar with from the New Revised Standard Version. Another one, Father, into your hands I entrust my life. Little different, but also same meaning, but a little bit. The Message translation, Father, I place my life in your hands. Seems like Jesus is doing a little bit more of the active work there on that one. Here's some more translations of it. Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. Father, I give you my life. I especially like this last one. Here's my spirit, Father. You can take care of it now. They're all getting at the heart of what I'm going to say, like three simple things. So for this Ash Wednesday, let's just think of these three simple things. Surrendering control, trusting in God's grace, and embracing the journey. Surrendering control, trusting in God's grace, and embracing the journey. So for surrendering control. I don't know if you've heard these words before. You've maybe read those of Jesus talking about that, but it's actually in the liturgy that we use for funerals. Actually, it's in the old liturgy, not in the new modern version, but in the old version of the liturgy we use at funerals, we would say this prayer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints of light. Now, these words are meant to bring comfort at a funeral, and they do, absolutely. But just think about how scary that claim actually is. How scary it is to say, here's my life, do with it as you please. That's a very vulnerable position to be in, isn't it? When Jesus says to God, his Father, into your hands, O God, he's really saying into the unknown of death. Into this, what lies beyond. And there was a hope in that. There was a hope in that. Could Jesus see it at the time? I believe so. Can we see it? Maybe a little bit, but maybe not 100%. I mean, death is the ultimate surrendering of control. Now, as a certified control freak, I don't like this. If you don't believe me, ask my family. They'll tell you. Pastor Matt at home, he's a control freak. This can be a hard thing, can't it, for some of us who like to be in control, who like to know what's coming next, who like to be aware of everything, and then you're asking me to not be in control? That sounds scary. We love to cling tightly to our plans. We love to eat the food that we like. We love to have our own understanding of situations. And sometimes we forget that God's ways are better than ours. Tough for me to admit, but yeah, that's pretty much true. A true surrender, then, it requires us to release our grip on our own will, to release our control, and then put our trust in God. Now, some people willingly do that very easily. And for the rest of us, it's like, whew. However, in Isaiah, the prophet says it like this: just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My plans higher than your plans. Isaiah talking about God's plans for us as people. God's ways are for our good. God's ways are for our flourishing. And as much as I want to control, his ways are better than mine. So surrendering control. Second one, trusting in God's grace. Trust goes with surrendering control, doesn't it? Can you really surrender control if you're not trusting? William Barclay was a scholar, and in his commentary about this, he said that this prayer, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," was a prayer that many Jewish children were taught by their mothers to pray each night before you go to bed. Now, this could be a tradition that you could start in your family, potentially. I don't know. Do you have a specific prayer that you do with your kids before bedtime? Is there some way that you can kind of acknowledge God's presence and then put your trust in it and put your trust in him? I find it just a really beautiful thought that maybe, just maybe, Mary, Jesus' mom, taught him that prayer when he was a little toddler. And she knew he was the Savior of the world, but she also didn't know the outcome. She had to really put her trust in God, using her whole body. And I just love the idea that maybe she taught little Jesus how to pray this prayer before he went to bed. And it became something for him when he was younger, to, as he was getting ready to be tucked in by his mother Mary, maybe she gives him a kiss on the forehead and says, "Let's pray. Into your hands I commit my spirit." That comes from Psalm 31. In the first few verses here in Psalm 31. "I take refuge in you, Lord. Please never let me be put to shame. Rescue me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Deliver me quickly. Be a rock that protects me. Be a strong fortress that saves me. You are definitely my rock and my fortress. Guide me and lead me for the sake of your good name. Get me out of this net that's been set for me, because you are my protective fortress. I entrust my spirit into your hands. You, Lord, God of faithfulness, you have saved me." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing and understanding of all of this holy scripture. So despite the darkness that was surrounding Jesus that night as he hung on the cross, somehow he was able to maintain this unshakable confidence in God's faithfulness and utter these words as a prayer. That, "God, I don't know what's in front of me in this death, in this whole crucifixion. However, I'm trusting you in this. I'm trusting in your grace to make something good out of this." And maybe he was even praying that prayer that his mom taught him when he was a little boy. Surrender control, trust in God's grace, and then embrace the journey. See, Jesus is inviting us to be on a journey together, and this is a journey of surrender. And surrender is not a one-time thing. It's not like, "Well, I've surrendered my life to Jesus, and now everything is fine." Surrender is an everyday kind of thing. It's a daily, moment-by-moment surrendering to God's will and his love in our life. And so to do that, you almost have to embrace the fact that this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to follow you. But to say yes to that is like saying, okay, I'm going to be on this journey. So I know it's going to be hard and I'm going to have these challenges. And actually it's going to become this lifelong process of me trying to conform my heart to your heart, my will to your will, my desires to your desires. It almost never happens in an instant. It always happens over a time period, over a lifetime, over a period of time. So I want to encourage everyone here that for the rest of the season of Lent, that maybe this would be a prayer. It's very simple. You can say it in about 2 seconds. That each night you would say to God, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. A simple way to surrender control, trust in God's grace, and embrace this journey that we are on. See, the people in Kansas City today didn't know, I don't know if you've heard this or not, there was a shooting in Kansas City. People went to the Super Bowl parade and shots were rung out. Somebody woke up in Kansas City and said, I'm going to go to the Super Bowl today. I'm going to cheer on those people. But you know what happened? They got injured. There are people who woke up in the morning and they died of an earthquake. If you look at the statistics, that today in America, about 100 people died of a car accident. When they woke up this morning, they were not thinking they were going to die in a car accident today. Daily in America, about 3,000 people have a heart attack. And when they woke up this morning, they were not expecting, oh, today is the day for my heart attack. So part of this is our aim is to always be ready. Always be ready. This is why we embrace the journey. We embrace the journey to always have our heart ready. To let God be in control, to surrender and trust in his grace, and then let us be moved by that in our life. So, 3 things to start. Surrender control, trust in God's grace, embrace this journey that we are on. And boy, I can't wait to see you on Easter when we celebrate and sing Alleluia together. Now, in the early days, Christians observed great devotion of Lent. They would prepare to meet Jesus and walk this passion and resurrection. They became accustomed to put ashes on the foreheads and be ready for that Easter celebration. So these 40 days of Lent, these 40 days that lead up to Easter, which is March 31st this year, it's an early year. They started by remembering their death, marking the ashes. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So in this way, it's one of the ways we remind ourselves that we need mercy. We need the forgiveness that's proclaimed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need renewal. We were once vibrant palm branches waving and singing Hosanna, and now maybe our life is dried and withered. And so I'd invite you, as we observe a Holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting or self-denial, or you're going to give something up for Lent or any of those things, and by reading and meditating on God's word, that I invite you to come forward, and you can come down this aisle here. And as you come forward, we're going to either put I have the ashes. I'll either put the sign of the cross on your forehead or on your hand. If you'd like your hand, just reach out your hand. If not, just lean your head forward on. And as I mark you with the ashes, I'm reminding you that out of the dust you were created, into the dust you will return. And now is the time of preparation. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be a sign to us of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Help us to surrender control. Help us to trust in your grace. Help us to embrace this journey that lies before us this day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Don't forget to visit us online at mankatohilltop.org.